Good morning. Good to see you this morning. We are glad that you're here. So I want to follow up something Dusty said when he said there was no children's church. And I want to tell you this is the last Sunday without children's church, without the nursery. Yes, and all the parents and the kids say amen. Yes. So this, This has been a helpful reminder, perhaps a challenging and at times painful reminder of how much we love and appreciate Children's Church and the nursery and the twos gathering, and it is a helpful reminder of how important our volunteers are that make that possible every week. So one, I want to say to all the parents and all the volunteers, for all the times that you've served in that capacity, for all the times that you helped, thank you. We couldn't do it without you. And the fact is that no church is bigger than its members and the volunteers that make up what the church does. So we are only as good as the people within the church, and we can only do as much as the people within the church do. And so, one, I want to thank all the people who have taken many turns in Children's Church. Two, this is a helpful reminder that to pull it off, we need your help. And so, parents, we need your help, and I know Jennifer is looking for folks to sign up and be a part of the regular rotation. But let me also put in a word, if you don't have kids or it's been a long time since you've had kids in that range, but you're able to help out, even if it's only once every 3 months or once every 6 months, every little bit of time that you help there is a little more time that parents can come up for air and be a part of the worship service. You don't have to be an expert in that. There can be other people who lead the way, and you can be a helper, but we need you in that time. So thank you. This church has always stepped up in generosity, in service, in sharing time, in sharing talents, in sharing resources, and I thank you in advance that I know you're going to do that for this church. So next week, we start back up. I know you're all happy about that. In the meantime, because the kids are in here for one more week, I want to invite the kids up to the front. And kids, when we're done, Miss Jennifer has a special packet for you, and you can take back to your seat. But if you will, come up to the front and help us out, because you're going to help us with the lesson that we're going to be talking about this morning. I'm so glad you guys are here. Come on up. Make your way up. Any of the kids that want to come? Come help us out. Come on, you got it. Don't be shy. You can sit on the stairs if you want. Okay, so I'm going to step down here and I'm going to talk with you for just a minute. So as a church, we are starting some new lessons talking about love, and I want you all to help us out to think about love. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and if you're willing to answer, Miss Jennifer is going to come by with a microphone, and you can help out to help us think about love. So my first question is this. What is something you love to do? It can be a game, it can be a sport, it can be a toy you love to play with. What's something you love to do?
Gymnastics.
Gymnastics. Oh, I would really hurt myself. That sounds fun. What's something?
Basketball.
Woo, man after my own heart there.
Guess who?
Play guess who. Oh, that's a good game. That's a good game.
I like to dance with my in dance class.
Dance and dance class. I love it. Let's get a couple more, and then I'm going to have a couple more questions. So if you didn't get the answer, we'll get you.
Soccer.
Soccer. I love it.
Baseball.
Okay, here's my next question. And if you didn't get to answer, you can put your hand up first. What is something, yes, I love your eagerness. You guys are fantastic. What is something that you love to eat or drink? What's something you love to eat or drink? That's okay.
Milk.
Does the body good?
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Spaghetti and meatballs. That's a good one. What's something you love to eat or drink?
Water.
Helping. Yeah.
Lemonade.
Very good. Okay, we'll do one more on that,
soda.
And then I've got one last question.
Soda.
Yeah. Okay, here's my last question. If you didn't get to answer, we're going to try to let you answer. Who is someone that you love? Who's someone you love? And you can tell us why if you want to also. Okay.
My daddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mommy.
Yeah.
Mom and dad,
right? That is a good answer.
Mom and dad and Bub.
Oh, I like that.
Jesus.
Oh, that is a good one. Did anyone not get to answer that wanted to answer?
Okay. My dad and mom.
Dad and mom. Yeah. Did we get everyone? Everyone get a chance? Okay. I want one more thing, and you guys can all help me with this because I don't know if I can do it by myself. So will you help all of us sing Jesus Loves Me? Who wants to start that? You want to start it? Okay, start it for us. We're going to all sing together, okay, church? Here we go. You ready? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Okay, I want you guys to do one more thing before you go back to your seats, and then you can get one of these special bags from Miss Jennifer, okay? I want you to stand up. Now, I want you to look out at this church. Are you looking at everyone? They're looking at you. I want you to know that all these people love you. All of these people in here, we love you. We love you guys. You guys are so wonderful. Let's give them a hand for helping us out. And you can stop by and get a bag from Miss Jennifer before you go back to your seat. I'll let you grab that mic when she's done. I'm going to start in John 15 in just a minute as the kids work their way back. I'm going to give them just a second. All right. John 15:12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. Now, love is all around us. There are depictions of love all around us. There are descriptions of love all around us. There's talk of love all around us. There are songs of love all around us. So many songs about love. And some of you may ask, what's love got to do with it? But personally, I want to know what love is. Because I've heard all you need is love. And I can't help falling in love with you, even though sometimes love is a battlefield. Still, love will keep us together. And I will always love you. I love you just the way you are. I just called to say I love you. Can you feel the love tonight? You see what I mean? Love is all around us. It is everywhere. But what are we talking about when we talk about love? Because you notice, when I brought the kids up and we talked about love, I asked them several different questions. Love can describe something that you really enjoy to do. And love can describe something you like to eat or drink. And love can describe the way we feel about a person. There is a wide spectrum in this word we use, when the same word can be used to describe my affinity for guacamole and coffee, which I love, and how we perceive God and one another, how we treat God and one another, how we look to God and one another. That is a wide range. And I'm not really interested in trying to change our vocabulary. Okay, only use words that mean like when you're talking about food or activities, and then you can save love for a few choice times and situations. What I'm more interested in us exploring is how we love God and how we love others. And my hope is that we're going to keep growing in our understanding and practice of what love looks like. Because in Scripture, the reminder we keep getting is if we're going to do love right, then it's going to look a lot like God. It's going to look a lot like Jesus. It's going to look a lot like their kind of love, which is the verse I started with just a few minutes ago. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. If Jesus had just stopped with love each other, that would be challenging enough, right? That would be complicated enough. And yet Jesus keeps going to say, I don't want you to just love. I want you to love each other as I have loved you. And that raises the bar to a whole new level. That goes far beyond my appreciation for a good piece of dark chocolate. And it's deeper than a fickle here today, gone tomorrow, or the kind of love that we describe when we say that we can fall into love and we can fall out of love. It's different from the kind of love that's always seeing if what we give out will be reciprocated in kind. So I'll be there for you if you're there for me too, or I'm there for you, but only because you're there for me too. Jesus' kind of love is an everlasting kind of love. It is an eternal kind of love. It is a sacrificial and enduring love. And it is exactly what we need. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And I promise that's my last song reference of the morning. But that is what we are desperate for. With tension high between nations, and it seems like tensions are high between our nation and several nations right now, we are desperate for Jesus' kind of love, for fellow humans to step in. As one friend of mine recently said, war is just one group of God's children trying to kill another group of God's children. We are made for more than that. We are made in the image of God to reflect the ways of God in how we view others and treat others and think about others. And if we are then going to love as Jesus loves, then it's not just the easy kind of love for friends and family and people we get along with, but it's that high bar of love that Jesus talks about in Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Now I want to live out the life as a child of God, but that is a kind of love I need to keep learning. I don't know about you, but that is not an easy kind of love for people that are uneasy to love. And here at the beginning of an election year, which feels like it's been an election decade, and tensions are high, and suspicion is hot, and rhetoric is heated, and opinions are divided, and in many ways it feels like our nation is divided, I pray that as people of Christ, we can maintain and even model a love that does not waver, even when we don't see eye to eye, whether that's on issues or candidates or whatever. The kind of love that we are called to is not dependent on other people acting how we want them to act to show them love. We choose to act in love regardless of how they act. Christ-like love is not controlled by outside circumstances. It's about inner character. And so that's what we're going to look at over the next several months. Dusty alluded to it, and you could see it in the bulletin. We are starting a new series this week, Love Is, and it's based on Paul's well-known description of love from 1 Corinthians 13. And this has been on my radar for a while, for us to spend time thinking about the virtues that God wants to cultivate in us as His people, virtues that flow out of His love for us, and then our love for Him and love for others as a response. So here's what you can expect in this series, and I'm excited about this. Every week we're going to study one of the different attributes that shows up in that list, in that description, one of the different qualities of love. What does it mean that love is patient? What does that look like? What does it mean that love is kind? But here's where I'm especially excited. Now, I want you to start to pray for us as a church, and you may be praying for your own participation, because every week, or at least almost every week in this series, I want to invite a different member of the church to come up and give a brief testimony about love before I preach. And it may be an experience of love. It may be sharing about a person who's modeled love to you, or a lesson that you've learned about love that's impacted you. And so I would tell you right now, if you have something that you want to share, or you feel like God might be leading you to share that has to do with this message of love, then let me know, and we'll see if you can, if we can work you in. But let me also tell you that just because you don't come to me doesn't mean I won't come to you. And let me also say that my plan and my hope is to get some people up here to share that maybe don't come up here as much. So I would like to hear from different voices within the church about how God has shown love to you, revealed love to you in people in your life, in situations in your life, and people of different ages and different backgrounds. And so be ready for that. And if you're thinking, well, I don't ever get up there, then I may be giving you a call. You may be one of the people who's up there, because I believe that God has something to share through you, through your testimony, through your witness, that the rest of us can be blessed by. And And then every week, we are going to say together the words from 1 Corinthians 13. So this week, I'm going to read it for us. But beyond that, we're going to say this together, because here's my hope. By the end of this series, I hope that if you haven't already, that you will have this passage memorized. And even more than memorized, I hope that we as a church will have it internalized. That these images, these snapshots, these depictions of love will sink into your life so that you continue to have this coming out in all the different interactions. So listen again to 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil or injustice, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So here's my encouragement. This is going to be our journey together. This is going to be our study together. And I ask you to start praying for me and praying for our church, praying for those who will share, that we would be a people, despite our flaws, despite our faults, who are growing in the embodiment of love. Because what we keep hearing over and over in Scripture is love is the foundation of who we are, because it is the essence of who God is. So listen to how this is described in 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another. Why? For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God, at His core, at His essence, is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Love is God's story. Love is Christ's story. Love is the Spirit's story. We are all invited to play a part, but the role has already been written. And our role is to live in the flesh and blood of our existence, in our time, in our places, but it always looks like love. It is always expressed as love, because that's what it means to be children of God. Before anything else, it always comes back to love. His love for us, our love for Him and others in return. So my prayer is that every part of our life, love is the driving force. And sometimes you'll see it on the surface, and sometimes it's going to work itself behind the scenes. But when you tell the stories of your life, love should always be baked into the ingredients. When you tell the story of your family, it doesn't have to be a story of perfection. Maybe right now your family is going through a stretch of blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven. And if you are, I guess that's a song. I broke my rule. I apologize. If that's the stretch you're going through, praise God, I'm happy for you. But even if you are going through a difficult time, and especially if you're going through a difficult time, I hope and pray that when you tell the story of your family, it still boils down to love. We may be having our challenges right now, but there's patience among us. There's kindness among us, because love will continue to define who you are, when you tell the story of how you interact with your coworkers, I pray that it's a story of a peaceful work environment, a collegial work environment. We get along, we enjoy working together, but even if that's not always the case, and especially if that's not always the case, I pray that love is still the driving factor of your story, that you do not envy, but you rejoice in the successes of those who work with you, and you do not boast when you experience successes that they don't have, because love is who you are and what you're about. And when you tell the story of how you interact with people, especially people you disagree with politically over the next year, whether that's face-to-face or online or wherever it is, I pray that we will all grow to say that we never let go of love in those interactions. That whatever we say, we do not dishonor others. That we are not easily angered. That no matter what, we're not delighting in injustice, but always working for truth. When you tell the story of our church, I pray that it is a story that is dripping with love, stories of compassion and caring and doing life together in the good and the bad. But even if part of that story at times includes ways that sometimes we don't always see eye to eye, and we don't come from the same place, or we don't always see things moving in the exact same direction, I pray that love reigns in this story. That we are not self-seeking. That we are always protecting. When we tell the story of how we interact with our spouses, I pray that it is a story of love. I hope that there's still some of those goosebump moments and the heart fluttering moments. But even in the midst of the difficult times, I pray that you can say your love keeps no record of wrongs. That you're always full of trust. That you're always working to be full of hope. That you're always persevering. Because the story we are called to tell and live is not first and foremost the story of a nation or a political party. As important as family and friends are, the story we are called to tell and live into is a story of a family so much bigger than our small circles. It's not first and foremost the story of our own personal preferences and pursuits. It is the story of God, which is the story of love, because God is love. And if we want to live into that story of what it means to be a child of God, we have to grow into the story of what it means to love. And so we close with these words from 1 John 4. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. I want to be a complete people this week.